This episode of the Start Time Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/paranormal. Over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Yeah, they're good.
Welcome to Star Time.
I would love to have a time where like they just are all good. So his whole job was just like, all right, yep.
Absolutely. Welcome to Star Time. It is Wednesday, May the 18th, and it's an interview day. It is interview day, and I'm excited about this one. We missed, I want to be honest and open. We had this interview set up for last week, and it didn't work out. And we had an interview with what was his name, Dick something or other, today. But our interview with this guy got pushed back to this week, so we'll try to figure out where Dick will land. But for right now, we're gonna go ahead and stick with our interview for this week. Which is a listener interview, which are always fun. We did one in the past. I think it was episode 6. We had a really good interview with a listener. We got another one tonight, which I'm really excited for. Episode 20. It feels not episode 20, but interview 20. It feels right.
Bran.
Yes,
I am here. Just to clarify to all the listeners. Was this one of the ones you're hoping to do as if like you kind of like a little personal intro?
No. We did a little chat.
You usually
do a song,
like sing and then welcome me and then you say, hey, Dave or something. But this time it was more just kind of right in and then kept going. And here I am, though. I just wanted everyone to know.
Hey, tell Dave that's incorrect.
That was Gary.
Oh, that was Gary again. That guy, you know what he does?
He's a fact guy.
He annoys the crap out of me is what he does. Like, because you know, Brian, I don't ever speak correctly with my facts, and so I feel like he's just always right there behind me, kicking me in the butt.
Tell Dave to turn down the language.
Gary says turn down the language.
Can we just get that mic taken away from him? Because I don't think it's necessary to have this feedback live.
Hey,
it'd be nice if we...
Dave?
Gary, go suck it, so...
Hey, Brad, tell him to turn that language down.
Oh, he's still...
Dave, he's still trying to fight for
maybe
the...
next time if he just would... If we
can you guys just have the conversation? Because I'm sick of being the middleman here between you and Gary.
Hey, Gary, I think that your mom said she's just made dinner, so maybe you should go eat that up.
Hey, Dave.
He hung up on me. We'll try to get Dave back on the line. Dave, is that
Gary?
You? Yeah, Gary hung up. I think Gary thinks you hung up on him.
So, that was all Gary.
Well,
Dave, that's incorrect. I'm back.
Oh my God, Gary, just get out of here!
This guy's unbelievable today. He never gets this much airtime.
He also never should get it.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
All right, let's move on.
So we do have an interview. It's with a listener. What's the listener's name?
Who are you talking about, Merle?
Yeah, Jacob Merle, I believe.
Yeah.
Jacob Merle. It's like
Jacob Marley. Is that really his name?
Well, I think it's a cover-up. We'll try to figure that. We'll try to
we'll get that information
out of him. But
it's a cover-up.
We're excited about it. What's even the point of this banter? Because what we really want is the interview, right?
Bran. Okay, yeah, I thought you were gone. Let's move on into the...
What people want to
get it. No, Gary, no, just get it. Go home.
Hey,
okay?
Dave, Gary says that what people want is the interview.
Yeah, well, what Gary can do is just go open up a book and put his face in and close it. So,
right. Well, speaking of book, let's go ahead and take a break. Pay the bills.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping we would get.
We're gonna pay the bills, and then we'll come on back and interview a listener, which I'm excited about. Start time. Hey, Gare.
No, I won't have this.
Tell Dave it's time for Audible.
Nope. No, hey, I will. This is going to make people not want it at all.
Hey, Dave, Gare says it's time for Audible, so let me go ahead and tell you about this. Have you heard about Audible?
Refresh.
Audibletrial.com/paranormal. That website will give you access to a world of opportunities when it comes to audiobooks. Because here's what happens when you go to audibletrial.com/paranormal. You will get yourself a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial. And here's what that means, Dave. Your life will get better.
What kind of ways?
You'll be happier. You'll be more entertained. You'll be stimulated in the ears. So,
simulated?
Stimulated.
Oh, stimulated. Gotcha.
Yes, in the ears.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my pitch for you.
Okay, well, we'll go do that.
What a way to end the ad, huh? Well, that's it for me.
Well, it is, but I mean, my part's not over. I'm going to go do it, and I'll let you know.
Bro. Okay, you're going to go to audibletrial.com/paranormal to get your free audiobook?
Yeah, I'm going to do that, and I'm also going to go find a way to disconnect the cord to Gare. Make sure that is not a problem.
Tell Dave, not possible.
Oh, he's got a wireless. This is how I really hope this day wouldn't go.
Audibletrial.com/paranormal today. The Start Time Podcast. Dave, what is
that's
up?
My name. Don't wear it out.
It is Wednesday. It is May 18th, and we are excited today. We got an email, when was it? 2 weeks ago now, from a listener named Jacob, and he had it. It was an interesting email. I sent it to Dave and said, do you think this is legit? And Dave, what did you say?
I said, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
And that's basically the way that we handle investigations on this show is to perform them live for you guys.
Now, I do want to read a snippet of the email. I don't want to read the whole thing because it kind of dives into Jacob's story.
But I do want to get into.
Right. I do want to read the beginning because he says nice things about us. So it's kind of important. Dear Star Time, my name is Jacob Merle. Big fan of the show. Been listening for a long time. I would love to be on your podcast, and here's why. I have an amazing story about a friend that I grew up with, .. and he's going to get into it. But he loves the show, and so we love when people love the show and also have great stories. And Dave, just in case people didn't know, they can do what Jacob did and email us, startimepodcast@gmail.com. If they have any great stories or just have any things that they want to say.
Right.
So let's get on with it. Jacob Merle, welcome to the Star Time Podcast.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. Jacob, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Let me first off start by saying, Dave and Bran, I'm a huge fan of you guys.
Yeah.
I've listened to all your podcasts, and I'm a really huge fan. This
you listen
really
to all of them every day?
I listen to every single one.
Wow.
Until I guess this one that I'm on right now.
We do them daily, so that would make sense. Yeah, yours will be the one delayed.
Yeah,
that's so great. All right, well, let me tell you a little bit about myself then.
Sure.
My name's Jacob Merle. I'm a ninth grade biology teacher. I live in Maine, so I'm a northerner.
Where in Maine do you live? I used to live in Maine, so that's why I ask.
Oh, it's a little town up in northern Maine. That's the only reason, you know. I'm good to give, you know, basic information, but no, you know, addresses or even really cities, you know. Yeah. Just
this story takes place in this town, right? So you want to keep it? Is this the the anonymous?
Yes, it goes on in this, where I'm from. Feel
free to be vague on some of the details of the story to protect the identities of those.
Yes, that's the only reason, you know, I would feel bad if somebody, you know, got caught up, you know, have, you know, a lot of stuff can happen that way. But anyway, well, basically, this is something that happened about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 2006. So, I mean, honestly, it wasn't as long ago as you'd think, but you know, a decade ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of time has gone by since
now,
this.
Jacob, can I stop you right there, Jacob? Now, I think you're about to dive into the story. And before you do, the story that you tell us in the email truly is like a story that like I had to ask Dave, do you think this is legit? Because it's so wild. And so for the listeners that are going to listen to this story and wonder, is this guy legit? Like, he hasn't written a book. He's not this guy. Why should people believe the story that you're about to tell?
What's your credentials besides being the ninth grade biology teacher?
Oh, well, I mean, that's just my job. But you know, this is just something that happened to – I mean, this could have happened to anybody, I suppose.
Right.
You know, it's just a regular, you know, thing. I don't really know how to – to say
I don't know if I describe this one as regular, but I know what you mean.
You know, yeah, this is not regular at all. No, what we're about to, you know, dive into is not regular. But what I'm saying is that, I mean, well, I guess, you know, people will have to just listen and, you know, believe if they want to. You know, I can't – it happened. I know for 100% sure that it happened, but, you know, there's no way of me.
You know, it's like the old Bob say, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, well, that's the kind of the point of the way we do this thing. We'll ask the questions, the tough questions, of course, let you answer, but ultimately it's the listeners who will judge the story. But that's the beautiful thing. That's podcast.
It's the old saying, the most reliable thing that you'll ever hear is from somebody just like you. So that's you.
Is that one of them?
Okay, yeah. Well, Jacob, let's dive into it. Dave, what do you say?
I say A-OK.
All right, Jacob, take us back. Give us a little bit of backstory to the big story that you're going to be telling us today.
All right. Well, 10 years ago, me and my friend, who he was actually a surgeon, and he was working at a hospital here in town in Maine, and he came home one day, because we had a place together. This was right after he got out of med school, and he was working at the hospital. He was an amateur surgeon just starting out, you know, but he was very good. He was very gifted, and you know, he saved a lot of people, and he was very good at his job. He came home one day, and he was in a state of shock and paranoia, I guess you call it. I don't know. You know, he was always very fine with, you know, a lot of the stuff. He did a lot of gastrectomies, you know, which were removals of the stomach and replacements of like entirely synthetic stomachs and everything. Well, one day he came home and just white-faced and, you know, just blank stare, and he sat down and was staring at just the empty TV screen. He wasn't even watching TV, and I noticed, you know, we had a place together, and so I sat down next to him and was like, you know, hey, what's going on? And he just wouldn't talk. So it was really weird. So I sat there. I was so nervous. I thought I might need to call somebody, but you know, I sat there for about an hour, and then finally, you know, he looked up and sort of came out of it. You know, I got him a glass of water and, you know, told him, you know, hey, he needs to calm down. I think he was having a panic attack. Then he just started going. He just started telling me what happened. He just got right into it. He said, today I removed a man's stomach, and inside of it was an extraterrestrial.
an alien.
Yes, an alien.
Like a baby alien or a actual, like, fully developed alien?
It was, and these are his words, it was a centipede-like creature, but its face was more human than anything he had ever seen. More so than you know, monkeys. I mean, any animal that you could think of, and it was centipede.
Was it like part centipede, part human, like a hybrid type thing? Maybe
that's kind of like the way he described it. But I don't believe, you know, he just said it looked like a centipede with the hard, like a hard shell face. Like almost like a human's with eyes, you know, a nose and a mouth.
And a shell.
Now, so did your
shell?
You go.
He said, "Can I go on?" Well, yeah. He said that the man showed up in the ER.
Okay.
And he was gripping his stomach, and he was talking really rapidly and breathing very heavily, and you know he was sweating uncontrollably. And he just kept saying, I need it out of me. Like, you have to take it out of me. And finally he started causing such a commotion that they had to restrain him and bring him back into the ER, and they sedated him immediately, and began taking x-rays. And when they saw in the x-rays, apparently, because my friend was there with them the whole time, the moment that he got a call that someone was complaining about their stomach, and like all the symptoms he had made it sound like that, you know, he was going to need something like a gastrectomy. So they went and got my friend, the surgeon, and he said that he remembers looking at the x-rays and him and the two other nurses that were in the room looking at them just gasped, and they could not believe, because it was so, they could see an x-ray of not only his stomach, but what was inside this, you know, centipede-like alien creature. And they said it was like looking directly at like the x-ray, like the camera, you know, that they use to get the x-ray, almost like it knew that it was, you know, being seen, almost, you know, with x-rays. Basically what happened was, he says that they went into surgery immediately. It was a very fast procedure. He said it was like one of the best he had ever done, because I don't know, he was so nervous about it after seeing that x-ray. He had no idea what he was dealing with. And so he got done in record time. Those surgeries usually can take, you know, a couple hours, but he got it done in about an hour and a half. And he said it was like a record for him, but the surgery went so well. But they removed the stomach and set it down to the side, and it was moving, because this thing was inside and it was moving around. And it was, he said, about 30 minutes after that, because they still had no idea what to do. Mm-hmm. They were just sort of recovering, and they had the patient, you know, in the recovery room when men showed up from the government. And I don't want to say that, you know, they were from Area 51, but, you know, it's possible that they could have come from Arizona. I mean, my friend told me that they had government credentials he had never seen before, but he knew that they were legit because they were very serious, and they actually had pistols at their sides. He said they were wearing uniforms he had never seen before. They weren't, you know, like suits or anything, like what, you know, you always hear about in like movies or thing. They were, it was
about the men in black, right?
Yeah, exactly, right. Like that. No, It was they were just strange uniforms that they like green, dark green, you know, some sort of sect of the military, most likely. But they came in and interviewed each of them separately, and when they got to my friend, you know, he doesn't know what they asked the other nurses. But when they got to my friend, they said they brought him into the other room and they sat him down, and it was just two of them, and they sat there, and they told him straight up. The first thing they started with was, they said this. He said, he remembers them saying, "Obviously, you know that you're not supposed to talk about this to anyone." And he said that when he heard that, he knew that was it. That he had gotten into something that now there was no way of getting out of.
Yeah.
And basically, after that, they asked him. You know, he just had to walk them through the entire surgery, what he did, every single move that he made. You know, and then after that, they got up and they left the room together with him, and they brought him as well as the other two nurses into the room that the stomach was in with the alien inside of it, and the two men ordered both nurses to cut the stomach open and let this being after they had done this, and they were very reluctant to, but my friend, he said that the two government, you know, people were very adamant about it, that they want those two specifically to do it, you know. And afterwards, this thing, he said, it just sort of laid there, and it really didn't move much. And
was it dead?
But no. But also, let me ask you this. He hadn't seen the alien until they had him open the stomach, so all they had had was a moving stomach at first?
They had seen it in the x-rays. That's what I...
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You could see it clearly in the x-rays, exactly what it was. And he said it was just brown, kind of brownish red looking, and it sort of shining. It was covered in, you know, stomach fluid, he said, so it was, you know, just slimed. But he said a couple times it slowly lifted its head up and looked at them directly. It looked at all of them. It swiveled its head and looked, and it blinked. And then it laid back down and just lay there. And he said after that, the two government soldiers, the whatever they were called, the agents, they told them, all three, my friend and the two nurses, to leave the room. And so they did immediately, because they did not want any more to do with this. They left the room, and they sat down, and they heard a loud bang. And basically, like a gunshot, you know.
Sure.
And and after about 20 minutes went by, the two agents emerged. They had a trash bag, and I guess this thing that they had just killed inside of it, dead, I would imagine, and they looked at all three of them there, and they said goodbye. Remember, do not say anything about this to anyone. You know what'll happen if you do. You already know. And then they walked out, and that was it.
Now, Jacob, did your friend get to talk to the carrier, if you will, the man that had it in his stomach? What happened to him after the surgery took place? And did the agents do anything to him?
That is where the story really gets wild. Now, fellas, let me tell you, because after this, my friend went to see this this individual who had this in his stomach, who now was, you know, bedridden and had a synthetic stomach, you know, it just, you know, one of those bags that sort of, you know, hang, you know, it's, you know, he's basically disabled now for the rest of his life after this. And he went and saw him and he asked him, he said, do you know what was and my friend was, you know, taken very aback by this.
Hey, Jacob.
He didn't yeah.
You're starting to break up a little bit. Can you, do you hear that on your end, Dave?
Yeah, I missed the one part. I didn't hear what you said. That the, what did the patient say to the doctor after he asked him how he's doing?
Yeah.
My friend asked him, my friend, the surgeon asked him, do you know what was inside of your stomach?
The man,
he said, yes, it was one of them.
One of them.
Like he had an encounter. And then as my friend continued to question him, the man just kept rattling on saying, don't let them take me again. Don't let them take me again. And I can only imagine that this man was, you know, abducted, and or something, or I don't know.
Yeah.
He came into contact with these beings, and it sounds like that, I don't know, that they had him as some sort of prisoner. Or,
yeah. Now, Jacob, you said
coming back.
You said in your email that your friend had maintained contact with that with the person he did the surgery on. Like, I don't know if they wrote letters or what. In the years that followed, what came of that man?
About 4 years went by, and they stayed in contact, and the man got better. He got better and better afterwards for about 2 years, and he started, you know, getting better mentally and physically and everything. You know, it really took a lot out of him, apparently, more so than a lot of people that have this procedure done. He became more and more calm, but he was never altogether there. But he does remember a few conversations with him when the man told him that he remembers going for a walk in the evening out in his house. Where he lived farther on the outskirts of town, not, you know, very far out, but, you know, he lived out near farmland and everything. You know, he had a lot of, you know, farmers as neighbors, and he used to go out walking out, you know, on the acres of land out there. He'd go for long walks, and he says that he remembers walking one evening and just the brightest light ever, completely blinding to the point that it caused him great pain, surrounded him, and all he saw was just light. And after that, he says he just remembers the feeling of as if you're falling. He said it was like I was falling. And after that, it was just black. And then he woke up in the hospital. And that was it. But I could only imagine that these beings, you know, came down and, you know, took him up into their ship. I would imagine that the feeling of falling was some sort of, you know, tractor beam of sorts, I guess. could say. After I heard this, I got very into learning and researching extraterrestrial life and government, conspiracy. And I've seen UFOs. That's something that actually happens to a lot of people. But right. a lot of people are afraid to say it because they think they'll be treated as if they're crazy. But I've seen them. There is life out there in the universe, and they know about us. And there's good and there's bad. And I think that man came in contact with some of the bad ones, a parasitic life form, I would imagine, that uses humans as some sort of, I don't know, growth.
Chamber. I do want to ask you what
wild. What
was that?
I was gonna ask both of yours opinion on this. Whether or not you had spoken to anyone that knows about this.
Not yet, but that's actually what I was going to ask you about. So your friend, has he spoken out about this publicly? And if not, what made him tell you
especially after the threat.
Right, after the threat. And then what made you say this happened a while ago? When did you come out with it? When did he tell you, and when did you start talking about this?
Well, after it happened, I was, I honestly didn't, it was hard because, I didn't want to get into trouble or anything, but I also am not afraid of, government, hitmen coming after me. I don't think they'd do it. Or, I don't think that really
calling their bluff.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not very, I don't believe that they're as advanced and that they're watching as much as other people think. I do think that they're, not to be trifled with, but I would say, that I'm not
trifling
particularly afraid. But my friend, he told me, immediately not to say anything. So I never really said anything.
So he told you right away.
I told a few people, Yes, that day, the day that it happened, he came home. And like I said,
So he did not
he
take
told
the threats
me.
That serious either, I guess.
Well,
at least
he,
not to you.
I don't know. Maybe it was because he was just in a state of, panic, I would imagine. Seeing something like that, even no matter, what threats, a threat's a threat, but if you see an alien, come on, how could you not tell somebody that? I think that he just,
right.
He cracked there. He didn't tell anybody else though. We were always very close. And I forgot to mention, I haven't seen him in years now. It's been about, because that was in 2006, so I haven't seen him since around 2012 now. It's been about 4 years since I've seen him.
Right.
2012, he was gone. And honestly, his family doesn't know where he is.
He's
he
disappeared.
Was reported missing. Yeah, he disappeared.
Okay.
And he's still gone? Like, the government, is there people looking for him? What's the status on his missing person alert?
He's gone completely. There are no records of him, and his family is worried sick. His family thinks that he was
no records of him. So what do people think, that his family's crazy?
There's not really much thinking being done. It's just it happened, and they pursued it, and they get no answers. The police can't help them. No one can help them. They even sent agents, actual Homeland Security agents, to their house to speak to them after he disappeared. And the agents have not found anything. They said they don't know what happened. It's just an unsolved crime. I mean, I think I know what happened.
Is it a crime if they if there's no records that he existed? Is are they acknowledging his existence or not?
Oh, yes. The Homeland Security people and you know and the police they said you know yes this guy existed, but it's a case of missing persons.
Oh, I understand. What you're saying. I thought you were saying that he. I thought you were saying that they had erased the records of his, like...
Not them, no. These government cronies that came in and killed this thing, and, you know, they're from an entirely different sector. They're a completely higher power. That's what I'm saying. The government that most people think of, I guess the American government, as you'd say, that's not the government. Those aren't the ones that are actually in control. They're just puppets. There's always someone higher up, you know. I don't want to say, you know, like the Illuminati or something like that. You know, I think that's ridiculous. But I believe that there are higher powers in control of what we, you know, or what the regular, you know, average people think is their government.
Okay, so we're really getting down to it. So he's gone. And that is that what inspired
he's gone.
You to talk? Is that what inspired you to come out with this?
Yes, it's finally. I'm at the point now where I don't care about how public I feel with this.
You said you're not scared, but now you can see what can happen. That their threats aren't necessarily empty. Are you afraid that this might happen to you?
I'm not, just because I believe that these higher powers think that you know. I'm just going to be viewed as just another crazy person or, you know, as someone who's, you know, not in their right mind. But
do you have any theories as to why?
I can tell you, I am. Why what?
Why he was kidnapped then, or not necessarily kidnapped, but why he was just erased at the time that he was. It seems like it was 6 years later from the event. Do you know if there's any... you know of any of something that happened that he did or came out with that would have inspired and some sort of scheme to eliminate him at the time that he was eliminated?
I can't tell you what happened or where they took him. One day he was there and then the next he just was gone. It was everything was left. Everything was left in his life. His car was still, you know, at his house, and it, on the, you know, found missing. He didn't show up for work, and you know, and then after that, you know, heard for about a week. But they narrowed it down to that night. The night after he called his mother and was at his house, that was the night he disappeared. And his house is completely untouched. It doesn't look like there was a struggle inside. It was locked from, you know, the outside and everything. His car is there. The only thing that's missing is his social security information and just you know, driver's license information on, you know, on government computers or basic, you know, minimum security government computers, I could say, because these people, these higher ups they have more power than, you know, the local authorities. They can erase, they can hack, they have hackers, you know, working for them.
Yeah. Now, Jacob, as we begin to wrap up here, it says here that you're working hard to try to figure out exactly what happened on that day now, and you're even beginning to use your background in biology to try to figure out what exactly happened. So can you talk a little bit about that and the efforts that you're making now to try to figure out exactly what happened 10 years ago?
Well, I have been, you know, combing the internet for stories of similar events, you know, because you got to think, you know, if these things, you know, came and did this to one person, you know, you've got to think that it's probably happened before. Mm. Oh, but I haven't found anything like this. I found, you know, some instances of people being probed, and one or two of, you know, sicknesses, strange sicknesses after, you know, them saying that they had been abducted, you know, and probed, but nothing like this where an actual alien, you know, was put into them, you know, and lived in them.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the strangest thing, but you know, as a biology teacher and, you know, as a scientist, I believe that absolutely there are, you know, aliens, that there is extraterrestrial life. And, you know, I may not have seen this thing, you know, I have to take the word of my friend who has now disappeared, but I believe without a shadow of a doubt that this thing exists, and that these things exist, as well as these government entities that seek to cover it up, and which I don't understand why. I believe that the people need to hear about it, and yeah, like I said, that's why I'm here, to tell you the story. So that's what happened, and you know, it was a event in my life, and I'll never experience anything like that. You know, someone I know, you know, and trust, you know, disclosing something that intense to me, and then disappearing years later afterwards. You know, this is, you know, exactly the sort of thing that you would think would happen after this. It's wild. I know that you two have spoken many times to individuals about, you know, alien life, and I know that you two are both very skeptical about it. But what do you think? Do you think that this is a possible thing that could have happened? Is this?
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting story. I'm more now. I'd worry, or I'm not worried, but I'm interested in what becomes of you because of what became of your friend and what has become to many, as we talked to many people who have studied the Roswell events over the past few weeks. And just some of the stories that were told about people who were told to remain silent, and maybe they didn't, and bad things happened, and just lives were made miserable because of the refusal to stay silent. So I worry, but I'm just interested to see if telling your story here on our show puts you in any danger. I sure hope that it doesn't.
Well, he did leave names anonymous, and I think that was a good decision.
Right. Jacob Merle is not your real name, but obviously.
Yeah. You got me.
Oh, well,
yeah. You got me.
No, I think.
I am anonymous, you know, in telling you everything, you know, that, but this happened. This is a real thing that happened. And there's no way they'll find me or, you know, get me. But this
happened.
So if
we were to, is there, I guess, are you waiting to have all of it together before you come to try and actually get some kind of justice for this? Or, because at some point, I mean, if you leave it anonymous, I don't even know if you search the internet, if it's possible to find this for listeners. But is this something that you're waiting for the right thing to finally disclose details, or are you just kind of raising awareness?
Can you write a book?
I'm in the process of compiling evidence, and you know,
what is the kind of theme of this book? Is it like this specific case, or are you trying to make a case for other scenarios?
I wouldn't call it a book. Like I said, I'm compiling my own evidence. You know, I have, you know, pages and pages. I don't have, you know, chapters or, you know.
But you're referencing other cases?
Yes. I have, you know, many case files. I've come into contact with, you know, some people that, you know, have worked for government agencies, you know, the CIA, NASA, you know, the Pentagon. So I have some very good sources for some of my information, and very soon, you know, people will hear and will know the truth. And it won't be very long. I'll tell you this, guys, it will not be very long before many people in the world start to actually see what's going on and the visitors that are out there in the universe. There is more of them around than you'd think, and those government entities have come up with ways to hide them from us. But they are there, and they're in plain sight all the time.
Yeah. Well, Jacob, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. We truly are honored and thankful that you wrote us the email. And we just, you know, best of luck to you, and let us know if you actually do end up publishing that book. We would love to have you back on and promote that a little bit. But just thank you so much again for being bold enough to email us with this story, and stay safe out there, okay?
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Like I said, you know, I'm a huge fan of you too. Can't
us
wait
too,
to
like,
hear it.
You know, so many good songs by you too.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
Brandon, you're such a little stinker.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. We do appreciate you coming on. Thank you, sir. Mr. Anonymous.
No problem.
All right.
Jacob Merle, listener, anonymous name, fantastic story. Dave, what are your thoughts?
I think that was one of our good ones.
You know, when I sent you that email, I believe your response was, well, gotta get them. We got them, and I'm happy we did.
Well, it's one of those ones, Brandon. It's hard to validate, but at the same time, I don't want to do what it would take to validate it because of the danger that it would put him in.
Yeah, it's such an interesting... He's just an interesting man. To say the least.
I wish we could have gotten more into the biology part of it.
Yeah.
Because him being a teacher, I know he mentioned that he's doing something with that. Yeah. But maybe next time, or hopefully we'll have a follow-up with him if he ever does get this thing blown up. Maybe he'll be the one, Brand, that really finally puts the straw that breaks the camel's back with this whole thing.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
But
you want to know what gets me, though, about these stories is how villainous it makes the government scene.
Yeah.
It's very unsettling.
Well,
like you would like to think that the American, like, well, I guess he said it goes beyond the American government, but you'd like to think that the people that we vote into power are the ones that kind of have our well-being in mind and threats to keep people quiet don't fall necessarily into that. So I don't know. It's hard to.
Yeah, that's what I always think about when I watch shows like The Blacklist or something like that, where there's just like the shadiest stuff going on. Like, I always wonder, does that really happen? There's no way that actually happens.
Well, at the same time, though, I mean, we do have also things like how Making a Murderer and Serial. Where you do see the kind of lower level.
Or even, like, I just watched a 30 for 30 on the Duke lacrosse team. Do you remember that whole scandal?
Some sort of, I don't know. I don't remember the details.
So basically there was like a girl who accused them of rape, and basically the DA at the time was up for re-election, and he basically just ran with the story and like convicted them before they were ever any DNA or anything like that. And the media just immediately made them guilty. And it turned out like none of them did anything at all. So it was like just this crazy story of police covering things up, the DA just totally throwing them for the sake of office. So,
and if you think about it, like that's at the low level, we're talking local government at that point. But if you get to higher up, it starts to people are doing those same types of things.
If it's happening in small towns where like that stuff is like who cares if you're the DA of a town in North Carolina.
Right.
Like, imagine, at the highest of the high.
Yeah, the Department of Defense. Like, if you're up in there and you're up there in the global, the Homeland Security and stuff, I mean, those people.
Yeah.
I don't know. And they already kind of have power to make whatever they want to happen with even more authority.
Yeah.
It's just, it's interesting.
Yeah. So is it that crazy to think that they would cover up aliens? Probably not, let's be honest.
And let's be honest, they also didn't necessarily say anything about that guy being murdered. They could have just put him in witness protection.
Boy,
so
he worded that in the most confusing way, though.
That he, I know, I didn't. Didn't you think?
I did too. But I was well. Like, at first, I was like, when you said, "So he's like gone," I was like, I wanted to chime in. It's like, I don't think he means that. I think he just means like that, like. What actually it ended up meaning, but then he like agreed with you, and I was like, oh wow, this took a turn.
When he said that his family was just okay with it, I was like, what? How did this happen? But now it doesn't make more sense this current way. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see, Brand. This is one of those ones that will pop out if it ever does, and if not, then I guess we'll never know.
Never will know. Well, what do you say we hang it up and we pick it back up tomorrow with some Star Time news?
Brian, I love it, doing it, and I'll be there.
Right on. We got a few thank yous real quick. Thank you to our big producer, mm-hmm. Big John. Our sound engineer, Jimmy Two Shoes. Also, the man, the myth, the legend behind the glass giving us direction.
The two-way mirror. Right?
Pointer Man Jay. And then finally, last but not least, big thanks to our good friend Gary Garnell.
Gary Garnell?
Gary Garnell for being the man who really checks the stats. That's it. Hope everybody has a good day. See ya.
Scoot over.